Guys, just got through saying that the emphasis on the total unification of the moon and the sun, the finite, immanent aspects of godliness and the transcendent, infinite, and the connection between Yaakov and Esav is all complete, and especially in our generation that we see that Esav has already been completely refined. We've already finished the job of refining the world of Birura, and the only thing that's missing is a special Avodah. And in whatever it is that we're doing now, even though there's no explanation for why Mashiach is still being held up, anything we're doing now has nothing to do with Birura, but is a special Avodah to bring the actual revelation in the world. So he says, it's if you'd base V'yashleima, Shamaylam Yuchedis B'dareinu Zeh, V'mezis B'avtere D'pashas V'yishlach. That the unique quality of this generation is alluded to in the Avtere D'pashas V'yishlach, which discusses what will be at the end of time. As it says, V'haya b'is Yankiv Eish, v'is Yesif Lahava, the house of Jacob shall be fire, the house of Joseph, which is an allusion to the Friedrich Rebbe, will be a flame, v'is Esav Lakash, and the house of Esav will be as straw, the Yoshua Negev is Har Esav, and the Jews will inherit to
Yoshua Negev?
What?
Negev is the referring to the Yidden?
They referring to the Yidden. The Yoshu, means they, the Yidden, will inherit the Negev, which is referring
Negev is the subject. A Negev is her, the Negev will inherit her Esav.
They, the Jewish people, will inherit the Negev, including the mountain of Esav.
When it say and the Esav, I'm trying to start taking, but I'm trying to understand what.
Imagine that it's instead of saying as a Negev, here it's being used to mean their inheritance will extend in that direction.
In that direction. Okay. The negative means south.
Right. And it will extend southward to inherit the mountain of Esav. The Golos, etc., ad Tzarfas. And that their exile will extend out until Tzarfas. Yoshua's Ari HaNegev, they will inherit the cities of the south.
It's a difficult lesson, huh?
Okay, so it refers to the exiles in Tzarfas. So, Me'achidushim shel Yosef, v'hemshech d'beis Yosef shebedareinu.
Tzarfas means what here?
I'm sorry?
What was Tzarfas mean?
Tzarfas is for another, is the Hebrew name for France.
Right. That's what it means here.
Is that what it means in the Pasuk? I don't know, but that's what it says. The first is Sfarad and Tzarfas in the Pasuk. Does that include, in other words, were there two places at that time in the world called Spain and France? When the Navi Evadia said his Nevoah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
But the fact is that later, Sfarad and Tzarfas, I mean, are referred to as Spain and France. So he refers to the exiles that will extend to Sfarad and Tzarfas. So whether it existed as a sovereign entity at the time, I couldn't tell you. But that's ultimately what it means, is Sfarad and Tzarfas, is Spain and France.
This is right out of a Navi somewhere?
The Navi Obadiah. Evadia. Okay. The Achidushim shall Yosef, a Hemshul the Beisayser shall be Dereinu, Kekdushim Machadmunus, Yidareinu, Shmeyari, Shun Yosef. One of the Chidushim of Yosef and his continuation in our generation, the house of Yosef, which refers to Nasid Arein, whose first name is Yosef, Lagabe Deda Shalifniza. Ad the Deda Shalabenu Hazak in Beis Yankir. The Chiddush of Beit Yosef, referring to the Friedrich Rebbe, back to all the earlier generations, till the Alter Rebbe, who we could refer to as Beis Yaakov, because Yaakov is the father and Yosef is the son. So Yodei Nasa Afot Samayonis Chutzu B'chol Katz V'Teva Mamash Ad L'Chutzu She'en Chutzu M'Men. That through him was brought about the spreading of the wellsprings outward in all corners of the globe, literally, to the most outward place, of which there is none more outward, Kimedina Sarfas. As, for example, the country known as France. Asher Bizmanei Shel Rabbeinu Hazaken, that in the time of the Alter Rebbe, Chem Bizmanam Shel Rabbi Yisrael Nisayinu Shel Achelse, and similarly in the times of the Rabbeim that followed the Alter Rebbe, Loi Haya Gili B'Kviyas Kol Kach HaFatzis Teres HaFatzis Medina Sarfas. There was not in a revealed, established way the spreading of the teachings of Hasidus in the city, in the country of France. There were individual Hasidim who had settled there here and then, but it was not an established, in any established revealed way. The Yesa Tachtin Lamata, because it was an extremely lowly place. Ad Kidekash, Rabbeinu Hazak Chashash Lemetzchenish Lutzavishu. To such a degree that Alter Rebbe was concerned about the possible victory of France, that he felt that it's spiritually it represented such lowly forces that if France were to be victorious in the battle with Russia, it would bring the world down to such a level that that who knows if we'd be able to contend with. Dafka b'darei nuzali de beis. And Dafkin, our generation, through the house of Yosef, Nasa Gili Vafatis HaMayonis Gamim Dinosaurus. It has been revealed in the spreading of the wellsprings of Chassidus, even in the country of France. B'Yisod Sham, B'Yisod Sham, Yeshivas Tem Chetim Alderach Kebulubavich. With the establishment of Yeshivas Tem Chetim there, similar to Lubavitch, similar to the way it was in the actual town of Lubavitch, and therefore, that being the case, the time has actually come to inherit the cities of the Negev, of the south, and the redeemers, it's time for the redeemers to go up on the mountain of Tzion to judge the mountain of Esav. This idea that I was going to discuss in greater detail and at greater length in the following Sikha, the Sikha of Parshas Vayeshev. There it's only mentioned in passing. Yesh lahesef lahayir al darach haremes. You could add and point out, following the system of remes, Tzarfas b'gemat yeshev ameyas v'shivim. The word Tzarfas is the numerical equivalent of the word Tzarfas is 770. Hashleim is the Mispah Sheva, which is the ultimate completeness of the number 7. V'shekolachet kol me'asar shivim, v'shekolachet kol me'as sheva me'as, v'shneim yachet sheva me'as shivim. As each one of the 7 is inclusive of 10, as each one of the 7 is inclusive of 100, and the two together, 770. So the Rebbe says we could say al-Darach HaRemez that Sarfas is the barometer. Sarfas is the measuring stick that we have. If you want to know if the process of refining the world has been completed, then you look at Sarfas, because Sarfas, the world is created in 7 days, and there are Chassidus claims that everything in creation is made up of 10, and each one of those 10 is made up of 10. So if you want to see if the process of refining the world was complete, so the measuring stick for this is Sarfas, which equals 770, the completeness of 7 times 10 or 7 times 100, and both together.
What is, I don't understand that 7 times 100 thing.
The concept basically is that every, just like a person is made up of character traits, and each one of those character traits is made up of parts, and each one of those parts is made up of parts. Okay, so the more, the more a person sifts through each little detail and fixes it up, so the more complete the person is. There's sometimes a person who you could say that he's a good-natured person, he's a kind person. Okay, but you could find if you would get that's in general. But if you'd look more particularly, you'd see that in certain situations, not so kind. His kindness only extends, covers certain situations. Then there's times that then there's this person who works on himself even more and covers every, his kindness expresses itself in every different kind of way, in every different kind of situation.
So
similarly, the world is made up of it's created in 7 days. Each one of those 7 is made up of 10 parts, which each one, as you go through the refinement process, you refine, the world is refined more and more. The completeness, the completion of refinement is represented by the number 770. Al derech haremes. Ulohoi. Sha'biru d'tzarfas shem espari 770. Na'asai de'alohoi shem iram ibeis yesef. And those, as we point out, that the refinement of tzarfas itself, which is number 770, is actually carried out through the flame that shone forth from the house of Yosef. Ad le beis Yosef kipshuta, till the point where literally the house of Yosef, his literal home, habayis shebei bacha, the house which he chose, ad shekanehu, to the point that he himself purchased it, ubei chai, and he himself lived in it. And the Friedrich Rebbe actually resided in this particular dwelling the last 10 years of his life in this world. So the Tsarfas, the numerical value of which is 770, the actual process of refinement came through this house of Yosef, the house of the Nasi Adar, whose name is Yosef, whose number is 770. Ubaemek Yosef. Tzarfas Esis Paratzta. On an even deeper level, we can point out that Tzarfas, within the system of Remez itself, Tzarfas is the same letters as Paratzta. Shabazem Rumas Shagili Vafatsamayanas Hubit Tzarfas Kritzis Kolagdar, which alludes to the fact that the revelation and spreading of wellsprings in Tzarfas is in and of itself a breaking down of all limits, of all boundaries. And we don't just mean that Tzarfas was such a lowly place that therefore Chassidus had no place there until we broke through, and now Chassidus can even go in such a lowly place. That's not just the point of the breaking down of all the boundaries. It's not that the higher, the revelation of Chassidus was able to break through and reach France. The breaking through of all the boundaries is expressed by the fact that France itself has become transformed. It is not only a place where the wellsprings can reach, but as we'll explain in the next sukkah, it's a place from which the wellsprings go forth. It has in itself become a source of spreading Chassidus in the world. So it's not just that, okay, we broke through and now Chassidus could reach even France. The breakthrough is a breakthrough in the whole definition of that France is no longer plays that role as the lowest place, but in fact itself has become transformed to be a place from which Chassidus goes out. Kimud gish b'kach she tzarfas eis yis paratz. This is emphasized by the fact that the letters of the word tsarfas spell paratz, the meaning, it's not just that paratz in order to reach tsarfas. In order for Hasidus to reach tsarfas, it has to break through. But that tsarfas itself breaks through, breaks out of its own innate characteristics, which were antithetical to Hasidus. And now is not only, is no longer antithetical to Hasidus, but is in itself a source of Hasidus. Through this process of transformation, that the lowliest place itself breaks out of its own lowliness. Not just that the higher revelation reaches that low down, but the lowly place itself breaks out of its own lowliness. This causes paratzta alecha peretz ze Mashiach shenema ola peretz ufneim. This is what brings about the revelation of Mashiach, who Mashiach himself is defined as he who breaks through. What is Mashiach breaking through? Well, so this explains that the breakthroughs of revelation from above, that happened before. There was Martin Taylor, there was other people who brought tremendous revelation down from above. The chiddush of the breakthrough of Mashiach is that he transforms the lowly world, that the lowly world itself goes out of its lowliness, and that's why he's described as Allah Peretz Lefneim, that the he who breaks through rises up before them. It expresses the idea of the elevation of the world to become a Keli, tell of course not only a Gili from above, a revelation from above, but actually the transforming of the world, breaking through the world's natural lowliness and elevating it to a state of being a Keli, to the highest revelations of godliness.
Was there anything else in going on at that time with regard to France?
There had come a group had come to Saint-Germain from France, which was to be followed the next week. That Sunday, more people were supposed to come to present the Rebbe with a model of the new building which they were planning to build, which they didn't complete until recently. And so the Rebbe was, officially what was happening was the Rebbe was acknowledging the guests present. And the next Shabbos was even, after they had already made this demonstration, there was a larger gathering of guests of wealthy donors. And there was also a group from, the next Shabbos was also a group from Montreal that the Rebbe made the connection. French Canadians, but
would you say, in a sense, like France was more of a transformation than, let's say, America was?
Yeah, he explains in the next week's sicha. Oh, yeah. He explains that France was a place that Dr. Rebbe ran away from. It wasn't just the Rebbe ran away from, and the Pashtus, at least what it to all appearances, Dr. Rebbe gave up his life to have to be to in order to run away from France. So France represented kind of the antithesis to what Hasidus stood for.
Where America's more like
America,
neutral.
Right, okay. It's America's more like, in the Sikhs that described as there's two forms of opposition to Elikus. And they could be compared to fire and ice. America, the characteristic of America, as always described in the Sifas of the Rabbeim, is cold indifference. It's Pashat Yiddishkeit was canceled due to lack of interest, not due to any ideological stand, any ideological battle against it. Whereas the other countries, including France, represented a real ideological war. Real,
you had French philosophers and
right, a real fight against, you know, culture, art, philosophy, modernity, science, you know, all these things were meant to be, you know, directly antagonistic. I mean, openly attacking religion. That ever in a difference if that I once explained the difference between the French Revolution and the American Revolution. That the French Revolution was a revolution against authority. And therefore, it was not only revolution against those people who abused their God-given powers, but it was a revolution against God himself. Any authority they didn't want. Mashiach, the revolution in America was Adrav. It was a revolution for the ability to be able to worship God. That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted, the freedom to worship God. They wanted free. So the Rebbe said, the French Revolution was a revolution to proclaim freedom from religion, whereas the American Revolution was for the sake of freedom of religion. In other words, the idea was that everyone should practice, but they should be able to practice according to their conscience, and not have to be concerned about the any dictators dictating to them how they should practice. But the idea of France was throwing off the whole yoke of authority, including the authority of religion, too. So each one has a chiddush over the other one in terms of fire and ice. Each one has the chiddush that the other one does not. There's a certain difficulty in America that you don't have in France, because at least the people in France are passionate about something. So if you could turn them around, they're passionate about, you know, they can become passionate about the Yiddishkeit. Americans are, even though Americans, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, it was they weren't fighting it, they were just not interested.
Isn't the Kalkite, though, more of an Indian of a moment than it is America?
I'm sorry?
The Indian of Kalkite, isn't that the Indian of a... you know, to Moloch, the battle against Moloch.
A battle against
Moloch.
Well, sometimes Amalek is identified with coldness, but Amalek's coldness it doesn't come from a lack of awareness. There's a difference comes from the fact that, despite the fact that he's fully aware of what's what and who's who, and that God is God and what God says should go, he doesn't care less. That's a different kind of indifference. The indifference, the coldness that in the Sikhus is ascribed to America is more just like not aware, just being busy being busy with making a living and building a life and chasing your dreams. And Pasha just like not having the interest or the inclination to get involved. It's not freezing out religion, you know, intentionally freezing it out. It's just cold and indifferent.
It's curious in a way because the Rebbe said that Eden was Nisbara when communism fell, and he made a whole point about relating the symbols of the Soviet Union to the redness and Eden. So he's saying really here that what began with France, to a certain extent, ended in Russia, and yet Russia and France were two totally different political systems.
France, the bigger chiddush is France.
Yeah.
More than this, because France itself, in other words, because Russia was more primarily, you know, the idea of brute force. Once you remove the brute force, once you break that that kind of opposition, so it's broken. But here it's more philosophical. It's more based in the supposed to, you know, it's the heralding of the age of reason. We're supposed to relegate the religion to the status of a relic that was no longer relevant. So it comes from a tremendous because of a tremendous spiritual lowliness to actually And again, each place has its own form of esnagdus to Kedusha, and each place needs to be broken through. But the Chiddush, in terms of breaking the very character of something, is when the thing itself which opposes now becomes a tremendous force for. It's very interesting that even the person who, the current president of France, was supposed to be, and was known as an Arabist, very pro-Arab and very soft on, you know, very down on Israel, is extremely close with the Jewish community in France in general, and with Lubavitch in particular, that done many things over the years to allow Lubavitch to do its work and to expand and to grow. So, you know, as you see that even, there's even the Goyim of France, even if on some more larger cosmic level, there's still some resistance. It's on Eretz Yisrael, which the Rebbe himself once addressed. Why is it that those same countries that we see improvements in all other areas, when it comes to the Indian of Eretz Yisrael, they're just totally irrational and unjust? And but the Rebbe said that's part of the Samani HaGeula, that there's going to be this last tussle of Eretz Yisrael. But the fact is, you know, it's here you see it clearly, there's no clear example that, like this guy in France, who's currently sitting in France, that in terms of his relations with the Jewish community is outstanding. There was one of the guys he ran against, who was also a big nationalist, was a guy who was like, you know, Stamina anti-Semite. And he, you know, he wasn't the guy who got in was the guy who was very close to the Jewish community. And Mamish helped them out in many ways directly. When he was the mayor of Paris, he helped them out tremendously. There's that big school system there that spans about an entire city block in Paris. And in order to get all the permits and they needed all kinds of special favors from him. And he was always the guy to go to, and he was always the guy to expedite matters for them. He has trying to suspect for the Rebbe. It's like, oh.
When are we going to have Tamchei Tmim in Baghdad?
Pavel did its time as the headquarter of the yeshiva world. But how many hundreds of years? He had Sura and Pompadisa and Nardo. Pavel was basically finished. Just needs a little, the last kick in the... Yeah, but basically it's done for.
Rabbi Van Gelder once said that the clip of France is so low. He said the only justification that France has to exist as a nation is the fact that Rashi lived there.
Is that what?
The fact that Rashi lived there.
Oh, it's like, in terms of preachers, it's definitely by far and away the most... The lowest of the so-called civilized nations. Definitely by far the lowest. And in terms of the things that they allow to be publicized on billboards in the streets. And
the taste of Adiyasa Bakalanao, Kishakaim Siara Bashamus of the Khadish Kisabashanazu. And within this generation itself, there's an even greater increase in all of the above when we reach the full moon of the month of Kislev in the year Tav Shinun Beis. Adoma Fosim Arash Tevis de Shanazu, Hayate Shnas Nafloiz Ba, or Bakel, Bikokel, that it should be a year of miracles within it or in all things. Hainu Shashana Atsum Vachal and Yanam Shabahim Ba'efen Shal Nafloiz, Palash Alamailaminis. In other words, that the year itself and everything in it is in a manner of neflois, pella, wonder, which is even higher than a miracle, uplois, lashon rabim, and employs in the plural, which means many miracles, adle neflois, nun plois. Until neflois, as the Chazaya refers to nun plois, that nun represents, in this case, the union of infinity, even though nun actually is number 50, But
Nun refers to the Nun Shari Bina, which the 50th gate of understanding is the aspect of infinite godly understanding. Infinite wonders, l'chol reish v'yikr ki mitzisim, at the same time, and the flows gam l'gav yitzisim mitzrayim. And first off, and this is the main point, that it says that as your days of going out of the lands of Egypt, I will show you wonders. And the Tzemach Tzedek explains that it doesn't mean just like I showed you wonders when you went out of Egypt, I will show you wonders again. But it means I will show you things which are wondrous even relative to the events that took place in Egypt. That they are, relative to those events, they're wondrous, they're amazing. And this year itself we have the full moon of the third month, which is the completeness of 3 months, anything that takes place 3 times represents a chazaka, as a special strength, as an established fact. I'm standing close to the third day in the third month, which is the day of the giving of the Torah, Sachsidus. Aschalos, Hagili, the Torah, Shal Mashiach, beginning of the revelation of the teachings of Mashiach, Shazir, and Sunna, Kashbar, and Knesset, Ba'ifim, Shavahayar, Alvonak, Erecham. Which then was the marriage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people in a manner in which the moon will be, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, a manner of total unification.
Why would it be the third day? Not the
second
day?
It's the
15th day.
Again.
It says the third day.
3 days later was just Kislev.
What's the question? I know it says the third day. What's the question?
Why does it say the third day?
Because Yitzhak Kislev came out on Tuesday that year, which is the third day of the week. So whatever was talking on the Shabbos before, but on the third day will be Yitzhak Kislev.
Who was the Baal Shem Tov born? When was the Baal Shem Tov born?
When was the Baal Shem Tov born? Chai El Tov Nun Ches.
On the Tuesday.
What day of the week? You also point out that this emphasizes even more by the fact that the year of Tashrin Beis is a complete year, that both Cheshvan and Kislev are full months, which means that you have 3 full months in a row. It's also Shana Tmima. In other words, it was the fullest possible. It was a year that had an Ibiyar and it had the most possible days that a year could have. The Shlemish of Shana Shlemish Hadash and Khajmi Kissim would get a Shlemish Chad Shalvana, the Shama Mikabels Mechama. The Shana Tmima itself is Chadish Ibim would get a Shlemish Alvana Shanask Mechama, Kimisha the Chadish Ibim Shtavish Nas Alvana Shanaskam, and the Dumas Hoya Alvana Kerecham. We can say in a complete year, where the months are complete, it emphasized the completeness of the moon, that the months of the moon, but that's all the moon as it's still a receptacle for the sun. It's still a makabel, it receives from the sun. And a Shana Tamima, the fact that when there's an extra lunar month, indicates the completeness of the moon as it's equal to the sun, because the whole point of adding the month is to equalize, to balance out the days that the lunar year should correspond to the solar year, which is similar to the Indian spiritually of the time, which represents the idea of the time when the light of the sun, of the moon, will be the equivalent of the light of the sun.
What events in Tavshin and Beis show what the Rebbe says here, that the flaws but call, we call them call, and how. I mean, Renan Niflos, Shanas Niflos, Shanas Nisim, Te Shanas Nisim, that we saw events that concurred with the name. What about Tavshin and Beis?
I'm not sure what you're asking. What were the miraculous events of Tavshin and Beis? Most of the miraculous events, most of the miraculous events of Tarshan Beis were primarily continuations from miraculous events that had taken place in early years. I mean, those miracles were still unfolding. The miracles of Russia and the miracles of.
When the flaws were called specifically.
The Rebbe said, I mean, the Rebbe also added that it's called, referred to it as the year of the flies, Bina. In other words, that you have to have a certain amount of insight and understanding in order to appreciate the miracles of Tavshin and Beis. In other words, they weren't as obvious as the ones of Tavshin Nun and Tavshin and Aleph. Nisim, Anisim, Enon of Flies means I'll show you the wonders. The Flies Bina seems to be the idea that they were, that if you looked into it, you would see how the whole. Everything that took place that year was of a wondrous nature. And Bechlal, I mean, the level of Ramazan that there was in the sikhs of Tavshin and Beis, in terms of how things, you know, events, how things, what's going to happen and how it's going to unfold, and I mean, there's a tremendous amount of Ramazan, far more than you, at least that was noticed in earlier years. I mean, the Rebbe Mamash, if you look back in the Sirus of Tavshin Beis, you see Mamish that the Rebbe covered every possible question that anybody could possibly raise. People
what?
Are not looking for the answers, won't find them.
To what?
You see Mamish that the Rebbe covered every possible, you know, the Rebbe alluded to everything, every single development that took place since then. The Rebbe covered every possible question that a person might have in the time that we're living in now and answered it. But, So again, it's something that in order to appreciate what it was and from what's going on, you have to think into it a little. You have to look into it. But there are a lot of things there that were, even though they weren't obvious to all, a lot of amazing things going on. Some of the obvious ones at the time were probably South Africa was that year and. Which was not only an open miracle, but it was an open nevuah of the Rebbe. There was mamash an open nevuah that no, I've met people from all walks, all kinds of prayer shechsidim, that said that the only reason they're staying is because of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. In other words, there was no other person, leader, rabbi who was willing to take responsibility for living in South Africa. And the Rebbe had said, the guys told me, I met a guy named Israel Vision at Tzachasid. You know, he told me in South Africa he carries a gun all the time. He said there's not a Jew in South Africa. He says maybe some Misnagdim have a different cheshbon he doesn't know. As far as he knows, there's not a Jew in South Africa that is there, you know, from here that is staying there, you know, except. You know, the only thing that the only smach they have is the fact that Lubavitcher Rebbe said that it's going to be safe and that Jews will be respected there till Bias HaMashiach and even afterwards. That was the expression that the Rebbe used. So that was, if I remember correctly, I mean, I'm sure that was that year. And there were a number of other things that.
I said the UN?
What?
This week's Sikh, and I said the UN?
Right, there was the thing, right, there were the events in the UN, there was the medical missions that the army undertook, was also there. So a number of different things.
The whole issue of the election of Bush versus Clinton, which was a Gewaldic.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable upset.
The whole Indian of how that whole thing evolved, I remember I was saying to
but right, how he had his Mapola.
The only way you could understand this is if you look at it in terms of the Rebbe Hashem directing things.
And the things that the Rebbe said to that minister, that of parts of Eretz Yisrael are given away, it should be by Goyim, not by Yidden. Okay, this is a wild, it was a wild year. I mean, then they were talking about the Rebbe not the fact that Friedrich Rebbe couldn't talk, and that they have to talk for him. It was a whole, you look at all the Ramazan, all the things that the Rebbe said, all the things that the Rebbe set up for. It's absolutely
amazing. The Ramazim that you're saying the Rebbe alluded to, which are ultimately all things connected to the Rebbe, I think someone mentioned this once, that the words Nefleish Bakoil go on the Rebbe because Nafsi Hu Akol.
Right. Yeah. יש שקש זה הם דרושי חסנו שאמרו כקדושת מוחדמון הסידרנו שנתפסו מחדו שבתייס אף הסביר and which the Rebbe actually gave out on the next day, Sunday. דרושם בתייס החסידס השייכם לחסנו שבזה מודגשת בייס השייכס לחסנו כנת ישראל מהקדוש ברוך למיס המשיח שאז יעיקר שלהם וסגילו לתאר חדוש ומאיתי תצא. This can be connected with the Droshim of Chasna, which the Friedrich Rebbe said, which have been reprinted and with additional explanations. Droshim and teaching of Chassidus that are connected to Chasna, which emphasizes even more the connection of the Chasna of the Eibush with the Jewish people in times of Mashiach, which then will be the main and complete revelation of the Terech HaDoshim Iti Teitzer. Mizeh moment shall be a main of Eilam Mahamash Tzrichim Rakov Terech Seinayim Lirisiz HaMetzius B'Peil Mahamash. So from all this is understood that in these days, all we have to do is open our eyes and see the actual literal existence. As he puts in footnote 112, Kloimer, Leizu Bavad, Shenif Shlomo, Ha'aveda, Utsrichim Lifel Agili Ba'ilam. Not only has the work been done, and we still have to bring about the revelation of the world, El Yisera Mizeh. But even more than this, Sheyashne Kvar Bepoil Ubegoli. That everything, and not only has everything been accomplished, but it already exists in an actual and revealed way. Utsrichim Rakluf Tehre Zeinai. And the only thing that's necessary is to open the eyes, which even opening the eyes does not require a new Avodah, Ki Mekvar Nasan Lachem Einayim Liras. Because you've already reached the point of where Nasan Lachem Einayim Liras. So there's nothing new that has to be done here. All you have to do is open the eyes that you've already been given to see the to see the reality that is already here. No new breakthroughs that's still required to be accomplished. All that's necessary is the eyes that you've already been given, meaning the ability to perceive reality the way you're supposed to perceive reality. And the eyes that you've already been given to see the reality that's already been revealed. There's nothing before it, earlier in the Sikh, it sounded like the work was already done, the world's already refined. We still have to accomplish something new. We have to bring a new revelation and we have to reveal it. Reveal it means that there's something as yet undone and then it has to be done, it has to be revealed. Here the Rebbe is saying that there's nothing objectively that's lacking here. Objectively, everything's here. The whole problem is with the subject. The subject has to take the eyes that he already has and sees the events that already are already transpiring, the reality that is already here.
Not everybody finds that concept totally transparent.
True. That's part of the fact that the people are not tapping into the eyes, because they're not only were they given eyes to see, they were given ears to hear and hearts to know. And if we choose to lock up our hearts to know and our ears to hear, so it's hard to tap in and utilize the eyes to see. But the resistance is there. I'm not telling you the resistance is not there, but the resistance is.
Not everybody is certain exactly.
The emphasis is the resistance is not dealing with any objective reality. Objectively, everything's already in place.
I mean,
it's wholly subjective.
The difference between seeing and hearing, according to what I had was explained to me, was that seeing is something which is immediately evident upon observation, as opposed to hearing, which requires some intellectual understanding.
Okay. Sometimes
the thing is that it nevertheless seems as though, in order to be able to explain this concept of open your eyes involves a considerable amount of intellectual gymnastics, because not, I mean, there are certain...
I wouldn't say gymnastics. A lot of people could see the same exact thing. But in order to know what you're seeing, you have to have a certain degree of understanding. Because many people could see this, could actually experience the same visual experience and see very different things. So when you're trying to, when we're talking about seeing in terms of a perception, in other words, everyone has eyes to see. What does God have to give you? After 40 years, God gave you eyes to see, means a level of perceptiveness that is not naturally inborn, but something that you acquire. In order to achieve a higher level of perceptiveness, it has to be coming from a higher level of understanding and learning, which is learning. Hearing is learning, and understanding is knowing. Is inner knowledge, the actual knowing and understanding of what you've learned. Then you can tap into your higher level of perceptiveness, which is already accessible to you. You don't have to create this or develop this. You already have this. You just have to use it.
So what is the purpose of Torah Mitzvahs now? What is it accomplishing in the world since the abort has already been done?
The purpose of Torah Mitzvahs is what its ultimate purpose was always supposed to be, is to serve God. In other words, the fact that the Torah Mitzvahs served an additional function in terms of impacting on the person and on the world, that was not something that improved on. It wasn't in addition to Torah's original